right, let's get right into it. Today we're going deep on something that might give you the chills.
Yeah.
The Bible. And specifically what it says about the occult.
Ooh, yeah.
Now,
I know this
can seem, I don't know, a little mysterious or even a bit taboo for some people, but
for sure.
Our goal here isn't to like summon spirits or learn how to read tarot cards.
Right.
But instead we're trying to figure out why the Bible takes such a strong stance against these practices.
Yeah, you're right on the money there. The warnings about fortune-telling and witchcraft, those things are everywhere in Scripture, but it's really getting into those underlying reasons that I think can really unlock a new level of understanding.
Yeah, and before we get too far down the rabbit hole here,
totally.
Can we just like define some terms, make sure everyone's on the same page?
Yeah.
When we say the occult, what are we actually talking about?
Good idea, the occult. It's kind of like this big umbrella term. It covers a lot of different practices, but generally they're all about searching for hidden knowledge or supernatural power. And they often involve rituals or spells or even like trying to communicate with spirits.
So things like tarot cards, seances, trying to contact the dead, even like using spells to try and make something happen or make something not happen.
Exactly. And those are just a few examples. But the real common thread that runs through all of them,
yeah,
it's about trying to access power outside of God.
Interesting. So let's crack open the Bible now.
Okay.
Specifically the Old Testament. What do you think? It seems like it's got some pretty strong opinions on this whole occult thing.
Oh, yeah, it does. The Old Testament. It's super consistent in condemning these practices. It doesn't hold back.
Yeah, it doesn't mess around.
No, it does not.
Yeah.
Like, check out Deuteronomy 18:0-12. It just lays out a list of all these forbidden practices. Divination, sorcery, necromancy, even child sacrifice.
Whoa.
And it calls them detestable to God.
Wow. Okay, so that's pretty intense. Why such a strong reaction?
Well, you got to think about the historical context. You know, the Israelites, they were surrounded by cultures that were super into all that occult stuff. So this was part of God setting them apart, establishing them as his chosen people, and making it clear, like, this isn't what we do.
It's like God saying, hey, you guys are different. You're mine. Don't get caught up in what everyone else is doing.
Exactly. And it wasn't just about outward differences, but about the core of their relationship with God, like engaging in those occult practices. It was a direct challenge to God's authority.
Almost like saying, we don't need you, God. We can find our own way.
Nah.
And does that tie into the whole idea of idolatry?
It totally does. Idolatry. It's not just about bowing down to statues. It's about putting anything before God, making anything more important than him. So in the Old Testament, those occult practices, seeking power outside of God, they were basically replacing him with something else.
So even practices that might seem pretty harmless to us could actually be a form of idolatry if they're ultimately leading us away from God.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And the Old Testament, it doesn't shy away from the consequences of that either. Like Exodus 22:18, it straight up says, you shall not permit a sorceress to live. Now, it's important to note that this most likely refers to those practicing harmful magic, you know,
yeah,
using their power to hurt or exploit others.
Right. And then there's Leviticus 20:27, which talks about death by stoning for those practicing sorcery or necromancy.
Right. And those punishments, they might seem extreme to us now, but they really highlight how seriously these practices were taken back then. They were seen as threats to the entire community, not just individuals.
Like a spiritual contamination that needed to be stopped.
Yes, exactly. And we see these warnings play out in real life, too.
Yeah.
Like, look at King Manasseh in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. He's considered one of the most wicked kings ever. And he really went all in on occult practices.
Yeah, he didn't hold back.
No, he did not. He was burning his son as an offering, consulting mediums, practicing sorcery, putting idols right there in the temple. It was bad.
Wow. Just a blatant disregard for everything God had commanded.
Totally. And the consequences were rough. The nation really suffered under his rule. It's a cautionary tale, you know? It shows what can happen when we get seduced by forbidden knowledge and power and how strong that temptation can be.
It's amazing how that temptation to seek power outside of God's will, it's something people have struggled with throughout history. It's like a universal human thing.
It really is. It speaks to our desire for control and knowledge, often coupled with a lack of trust in God's plan.
So we've got this strong foundation from the Old Testament, but how does the New Testament approach this? Does the arrival of Jesus change things?
It's a great question. And it's an interesting shift, too. The New Testament, it doesn't just drop the subject altogether.
Yeah.
But the overall context changes a bit.
Okay, so it's not like the issue just disappears
yeah.
with Jesus coming on the scene. But how is it presented differently then? What changes?
Well, one big change is the increased focus on spiritual warfare, you know, that cosmic battle between good and evil, a struggle that's happening in the spiritual realm.
So it's not so much about just following rules anymore. It's about this larger cosmic conflict.
Exactly. It's about forces beyond what we see.
Okay, but then how does that connect back to the occult?
Think about how the occult operates. It thrives on secrecy and deception, right? Promises of hidden knowledge and power. Those are tools that evil forces can use to keep people in the dark, keep them away from God and His truth.
It's almost like the occult is offering this counterfeit version of truth, a knockoff version of real power.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And that's exactly why the New Testament emphasizes discernment. You know, that ability to really tell the difference between what's truly from God and what's just a fake, a deceptive counterfeit.
That makes sense. But how do we actually develop that discernment? How do we know something is from God or not?
Well, one of the most important things is to really understand God's nature. You know, as He's revealed in Scripture, the Bible tells us over and over that God is love, He's holy, and He wants a relationship with us based on trust and obedience.
Okay.
So anything that promotes manipulation or control or selfish ambition, that should be a red flag.
Yeah, that makes sense. It reminds me of Colossians 2:8, where Paul warns about being taken captive by philosophy and empty deceit, things that aren't from Christ. And then there's 1 Timothy 4:1, talking about people leaving the faith because they're drawn to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons.
Exactly. Those passages, they really show how deception can sneak into our lives sometimes. It's not always as obvious as someone practicing witchcraft. You know, it can be disguised as wisdom or enlightenment.
Oh, wow.
That's why we got to be so careful about what we're letting into our minds and hearts.
So it's not just about avoiding certain occult practices, but being discerning about anything that might lead us away from God and His truth.
Precisely. It's about guarding our hearts and minds and staying rooted in what we know is true from the Bible.
So the New Testament, it doesn't just tell us about the dangers of the occult, it actually offers a powerful alternative.
You're talking about the Holy Spirit, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The New Testament says that through a relationship with God and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can access true power, wisdom, and guidance. It's the total opposite of what the occult offers.
It really is. The occult promises power through manipulation and control. The Holy Spirit offers power through surrender and relationship with God.
Yeah, it's a complete 180.
Night and day.
Do you see any examples of this contrast playing out in the New Testament?
Oh, definitely. Think about the story of Simon Magus in Acts chapter 8.
Oh, yeah.
He was a sorcerer, skilled in magic, but when he saw the genuine power of God working through the apostles, he was blown away. He even tried to buy the power of the Holy Spirit from them, like it was some kind of
And
commodity.
wanted to manipulate the spiritual realm, just like he was used to doing with magic.
Exactly. But the apostles, they made it clear, true spiritual power. It can't be bought or controlled. It comes from a genuine relationship with God, surrendering to His will and letting His Spirit work in and through you.
It's about letting go of our own desire for control and trusting God's power instead.
Yes. And then there's the story of Paul and Elymas, the sorcerer. In Acts 13, Elymas was using his magic to try and stop the governor from hearing the gospel.
Right, he wanted to keep the truth from spreading.
Exactly. But Paul, empowered by the Holy Spirit, he confronted Elymas, exposed his deception, and ended up striking him blind.
Whoa, talk about a dramatic confrontation. That seems like a pretty clear example of God's power over occult power.
It is. It shows us God isn't afraid to confront those who oppose Him and His truth. But more than that, these stories, they're about the transformative power of the gospel. They're about the way God's love and truth can break through darkness and set people free. That's the real power at work here.
So we've got this stark contrast between the fake power of the occult and the true power that comes from God through the Holy Spirit. But if the occult is so dangerous, why are people still drawn to it? What makes it so appealing?
That's a great question. I think a few things are going on here. First, there's that natural human curiosity. We're fascinated by the unknown, the occult with all its rituals and mysteries. It offers a glimpse into this world beyond the ordinary. A world that seems to hold hidden knowledge and power.
Like forbidden fruit. It's just calling out to people.
Yeah, exactly. There's a certain allure to things that are hidden or taboo, especially for people who are searching for answers outside of traditional religion. You know, the occult can be pretty tempting.
Yeah, I can see that. So, what else contributes to its appeal?
Well, there's also the desire for power and control. People who are going through tough times or feeling powerless, they might see the occult as a way to gain control over their lives. You know, they might be dealing with money problems, relationship issues, health concerns, any number of things. And they're just looking for a quick fix, a way to manipulate things to get what they want.
And the occult, with its promises of manipulating spiritual forces, it seems to offer that control. It's like a way to take charge of your destiny.
Exactly. But the problem is those promises are often deceptive. They might sound good at first, but they ultimately lead to more darkness and bondage. It's a false sense of empowerment that ends up trapping people in a cycle of fear and manipulation.
So it's like a trap disguised as a solution.
Yeah. You think you're getting help, but it only makes things worse.
It might look good at first, but it ultimately leads to more harm than good.
Precisely. And, you know, this desire for control, it can also come from a lack of trust in God. When we don't fully believe that God is good, that he loves us and has a plan for our lives, we're more likely to try to take matters into our own hands. It's like we're saying, God, I don't trust you to handle this, so I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah.
And that lack of trust can really open the door to all sorts of spiritual deception.
So it's not just about avoiding specific practices. It's about cultivating a deep trust in God, believing that he's got everything under control and that he's working all things together for good, even when we don't understand what he's doing.
That's such a crucial point. It's about surrendering to God's will and trusting that his plan is ultimately better than anything we could come up with on our own.
This whole conversation has been so insightful. It's amazing to see how the Bible addresses this in both the Old and New Testaments, and how relevant it still is today.
It really is timeless wisdom.
Our listeners are probably wanting to hear more about what they can do to protect themselves and grow closer to God. What do you think?
Yeah. Let's get into that. We'll delve into it more in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay, so we've spent the last couple parts of this deep dive exploring the Bible's perspective on the occult. Right? From the Old Testament condemnations to the New Testament's focus on spiritual warfare and the power of the Holy Spirit.
It's been quite a journey.
It really has. And I'm guessing our listeners are probably wondering, okay, so what does this all mean for me? How do I actually apply this to my everyday life?
You're right. It's time to get practical, you know? We've talked about the dangers of the occult and the source of real power in God, but now we need to equip ourselves with some tools so we can navigate this tricky terrain and grow closer to him.
Okay, so where do we start?
Well, like any good journey, we need a map.
Okay.
And when it comes to spiritual matters, that map is the Bible, Hebrews 4:12. It says that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword.
Wow.
Piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's not just some ancient text. It's a living guidebook for our lives. Yeah. You know, it helps us navigate all the complexities, including those in the spiritual realm.
It's like a spiritual GPS.
Exactly. And the more time we spend in scripture, the more we develop that spiritual instinct, you know, that ability to sense when something's not right or when a belief or practice is leading us away from God.
So it's not just about reading the Bible, but actually engaging with it, studying it, meditating on it.
Exactly. Find a translation that speaks to you. Get a journal and just really dig in. Look for the deeper meaning, you know, how it applies to your life.
Yeah.
How those words reveal God's character and his heart for you.
I think it's also important to remember that we don't have to go it alone.
Right.
Like being part of a community of believers, talking about this stuff with others, that can be super helpful.
Oh, absolutely. You know, find a church, a small group, a mentor, even just a trusted Christian friend who you can talk to. Iron sharpens iron, like Proverbs 27:76 and says. Sharing our struggles and insights with others can help us grow in our faith and really deepen our understanding of God's truth.
It's like having a spiritual workout, buddy.
Exactly. Someone to encourage you along the way. And along with studying the Bible, prayer is so essential. And I don't just mean reciting memorized words. I mean having real, honest conversations with God, you know? Pour out your heart to him, all your fears, your doubts, your temptations, everything.
It's pretty amazing to think that we can actually talk to the creator of the universe and he wants to hear from us.
I know, right? And remember, you don't need mediums or rituals or any other occult practices to connect with God. He's right there with you, ready to listen and guide you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says to pray without ceasing, you know, keep that connection with him going all day long.
That's a great reminder. So we've got the Bible to guide us and prayer to connect us with God. What else can we do to kind of safeguard ourselves from the occult's influence, like practically speaking?
Well, if you've been involved in any occult practices, it's really important to make a clean break.
Mm-hmm.
That means getting rid of anything associated with those practices. Books, talismans, anything that could be a spiritual stumbling block.
It's like decluttering your spiritual space.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Make room for God's presence and get rid of anything that might be holding you back.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, if you're struggling to break free, there are Christian counselors and therapists who can give you support and guidance as you're walking through that process of healing and restoration.
Yeah, that's a good point. Asking for help is okay. There are people out there who can walk with you through that.
Definitely. And you know, these days, it seems like occult themes are everywhere. In movies, TV shows, music, even in casual conversation. It can be tough to navigate that.
Yeah, it really can. It seems like our culture is obsessed with spiritualism and alternative knowledge. And sometimes it's hard to tell what's just entertainment and what could be spiritually harmful.
It is. It really is. But Philippians 4:8, it tells us to think about things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That's a good filter for us, you know, as we're deciding what we're letting into our minds.
So we need to be careful about what we're watching and listening to and the conversations we're having. If something is glorifying occult practices, it's probably best to stay away.
You got it. It's not about being judgmental or legalistic. It's about protecting our spiritual health. It's like having a healthy diet for our souls, you know? We wouldn't intentionally eat something that would make us sick. So why would we expose ourselves to things that could harm us spiritually?
Yeah, that's a great analogy. So before we wrap up here, I think it's important to remember God's grace. What if someone listening has messed around with the occult? What if they're feeling guilty or ashamed?
That's so important.
Yeah.
You know, God's grace is bigger than any mistake we could ever make. Romans 5:20. It says, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So if you've been involved in occult practices, please don't let shame or guilt stop you from coming back to God. He's always ready to forgive, to heal, and to welcome you back with open arms.
That's so good to hear. Romans 8:1 says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
That's right. You are not alone. Reach out to a pastor, a mentor, a Christian friend. There's a whole community of believers who will support you and pray for you and walk with you as you seek healing and restoration.
This whole conversation has been so eye-opening. You know, it's amazing how relevant the Bible is for us today and all the wisdom and guidance it has for us about the occult.
It really is timeless wisdom.
So to wrap up this deep dive, what's one final thought you want to leave our listeners with?
I would just encourage everyone to keep seeking truth. You know, be discerning about what you believe and always test everything against what God's word says. Don't be afraid to ask questions, challenge assumptions, and really dig deep into your faith. But most importantly, never stop pursuing a relationship with the one who holds all truth and all power, God. He loves you more than you could ever know.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your wisdom and insight.
It's been my pleasure.
And to all of our listeners, thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into the Bible's perspective on the occult. We hope this has been insightful and helpful. Mm-hmm. And remember, you're not alone on this journey. God is with you, and his love will always guide you towards truth and freedom. Happy deep diving.